Is that so? You want to just keep it about a fist away from your mouth. So fist right there. There. I hope this makes.
Do
it on,
I need to do this?
Well, I hope that makes it on the podcast. That shit. Kyle, don't cut any of the sound.
You just wanted me to do this just, close to my mouth.
We're not even in a podcast. I just wanted some home footage of you stroking this microphone.
You should have said, now go back and forth. That's the way to do it.
Yeah,
It's
put your mouth as close on the micro as you can. I bet you can't fit this whole phone part.
Do you want me to try?
Hey. Well, it's a good way to start the first podcast. How about a cheers for actually doing this? Get a little sippity sip sip mm-hmm. with the old whistle. We've been talking about starting a podcast for a while, and you've always been hesitant. Is that the right word?
Yes, hesitant, afraid.
What are you afraid of?
People.
What are they going to be like?
Exactly.
Your voice
what are they
going to
be like?
Well, the nice thing is like if we only have 3 listeners for the rest of this podcast ever,
we're good.
Then it's probably like one of your girlfriends and like 2 of my buddies.
So like you listening. Say it's still a success?
I think as long as we're having fun and you know, we get to create content, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what it is. I care too much. Like, you know, when they ask you what your weakness is?
Turn the microphone in towards, like, make sure it's, like, in line like that. There you go. Look at that. And there's nothing wrong with it.
I don't get it.
So, okay, do you see how, like, there's, like, a direct line into the mic?
Mine wasn't like that?
Maybe from this angle. It looks weird. I'm sorry. I'm just being the,
We're going to fine-tune everything.
Yeah, if this doesn't sound good or it doesn't look good, it's,
Is my shirt see-through?
I hope it is. No, it's not. That's just light hitting in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of
hits. Yeah, light hitting it so you can see my bra.
I mean, I think it's a shadowy kind of thing. So you're afraid of what people would think? Like,
yeah,
on a real scale, on a real, like, on a real perspective.
Yeah.
You thought people would actually.
Joking aside, I care too much about what people think of me. So the constant fears in my brain are, what are people going to say? They're going to think I'm weird or, different, or they're not going to think we are, like, our banter is funny, and just all of the things.
Like, we're the weird couple kind of thing.
Well, and it's not even you. It's me. I always feel like
actually think it's not you? It's not me. It's you?
Well, because you have a podcast. You have a YouTube channel. You, like, own the camera.
But, okay, let me ask you this, and maybe this will help me, like, understand where you're coming from. Is it more of, like, you're afraid to put yourself out there to be too silly and goofy?
No, I am afraid of that people, like, so my biggest fear is rejection. So that plays into every part of my life. Mm-hmm. And so, wow, we got serious real quick.
Hey, this is nice. I told you, it's like the secret of a podcast is pretend like it's the microphones
is
not here.
This is counseling.
This is all of a sudden.
It's a counseling session.
The whole point of this podcast was really how to get you to do certain bed stuff, stuff in the bedroom.
Rejection.
So far, we started with the whole pumping of the microphone.
I mean, we've already started out strong.
Yeah.
So
rejection, but like, how can somebody reject you just by listening to you? They could just choose not to listen to you, right?
No, I mean, well, YouTube has comments.
Correct.
I don't know if people tell me, oh, you have a cute little podcast, or they'll, you know, I don't know. Hmm. I feel like the way people sometimes phrase it, and you just feel like, okay,
And I see what I know what you're saying, but like. So
it's mostly comments. Like, I don't want to read comments that are negative because it affects me.
Yeah.
I take it too personally. I
can't
take things not personally, which you understand with YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
But
it put me in a dark place.
It's too much
for
me.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't.
So you have to pinky promise me, because there'll be a podcast version, audio, and a YouTube video format of this. You have to pinky promise me that you'll never read a single YouTube comment.
Okay.
Unless I find some good ones and be like, hey, you need to read this
only
one.
Only the ones you sent
Because
me.
They said, hey, your shirt is really see-through.
Also,
you just can't do that. Like, I remember when I first started Mr. Build It, and we'll get to a different podcast because I think today's topic is going to be like about how you started your business. A lot of people are really interested about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, I remember like what, because people in public would never tell you to your face. Like, right. The people would be like, hey, your YouTube channel?
Unless it's passive aggressive.
Yeah, or your podcast. I did have some people, but I think the people are like on a spectrum, you know, like social awkward people. Like, they don't know how to phrase themselves. They'll be like, hey, saw your stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, but for the most,
I watched it.
That's like one probably guy with that's on a spectrum that told me that. But like, and I'm like, oh, bless his heart. But I think for the most part, the people do this. They'll be silly about it. Like I remember somebody was like, when I was still working,
like, you're
in the hospital,
cute.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Mr. Fix It, and I'll be like, well, it's Mr. Build It. You know, shut your mouth, Karen.
Yeah, Karen.
Yeah.
Get out of the elevator.
Get out of the elevator. But that was my way of going, people are teasing me.
Yeah.
I can't ever imagine anybody teasing you. Like, you have this thing. You are so, people, like, I think my followers, like, some of the,
I have this thing. I don't get too personal. That's the thing.
No, no, but like, you have this gift. And I think, and I've talked to a couple other people in my life, that they're just, you're one of the like small percenters, like whether it's 1% or 5% of the people, definitely under 10 in this world, who are just like liked by everybody. Right? It's weird because people like you, and I can name, like, our friend Ronnie is one of them. He's liked by everybody. Like, you can't meet, like, I've yet somebody meet him and be like, eh, Ronnie's rubbing me the wrong way. Like, people just naturally fall in love with people like yourself. And I think it's because you guys are genuinely nice to people, genuinely intrigued by people. You guys are very easygoing, and you always give people the benefit of the doubt.
We're people pleasers.
Right. And maybe that's the case. Right. And so versus with me, I'm too much of an a-hole. Like, I'm like, I don't like what they're doing. Like, or I don't like the way that person is, or like, I'll just be like, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, because I just don't want to be around people. And so maybe for me, it's a little bit different.
Both have their pros and cons. Wouldn't you say, like, I wish I was more like you, where I didn't care. I think I would take more risks, mm-hmm. and I would go for it more than I do. I feel like I'm less personable.
You feel you're shackled or something?
No, I just feel like I can't fully be myself on social media and stuff because I'm afraid of what people think. So I stay very vague.
Now, here's the interesting thing of how, and we'll, I think it might be a good segue to your story with your business and social media. You said you stay vague. What's interesting from my experience when I started Instagram and all that stuff is I would try to be vague and I would try to be very universal.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me zero engagement. And then you...
It's because it's not your personality.
But maybe. I don't know. But these are strangers. So they don't know me. So they don't know if this is true or not.
Maybe,
but then you
tell.
Would come in and I would say, my excuse would be like, I don't want to work. But I still took really good pictures and really good videos. But with you, it's a different story. Like, when you came in, you came out of the gates like with great engagement, lots of comments, lots of likes. And I'm like, why is it the fact that she has a mostly female audience? Like, where does that come from? So the vagueness never helped me at all on my social media. For you, if you're what you're trying to say is that your strategy is being vague and universal.
It's,
I don't,
like,
know how it works.
It's like somewhere in the middle. I'm like not so vague where it's like you can't relate. It's just enough to where you can relate to me, but I'm not so out there where people are like, oh, wow, I don't think she's wrong. I'm going to unfollow her because I don't like what she said.
Mm.
So, but like somewhere in the middle. And I think, I don't know.
So like your some of you, like your posts or some of the gals, I think in your space, not specifically your posts, but like in your space, like I'll follow them through like blogging and stuff like that. And I'll say, hey, they'll start post, be like, you guys know how I am around this. And you're like, oh, okay, this sounds like an ad right now. Like I'm going to read like a paragraph and I'm going to see hashtag sponsor, whatever, which I'm fine about. But when people start to like spice up this whole like thing and you go, that's not the real you talking. That is you getting ready to do an ad read, which pays. So I'm all for ad reads.
Right.
But like that's, so I guess it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around what is the balance of being vague and yet being very, I don't know what the word.
Content.
Content wise. Like it's,
maybe
content,
it's
maybe,
content.
Yeah. Maybe it's
like if you have
satisfying pictures.
Yes. Like pictures that are aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
People don't care as much.
Hmm.
And then also if you like there's a community of like designers, right? There's a community of woodworkers. Mm-hmm. And so if you're kind of in that community and people know your content, mm-hmm. I feel like you're kind of in, if that yeah. makes sense. And so people will post on your stuff. And you fixing my mic?
Yeah, fixing your mic.
How do you know?
Well, maybe it's just an angle I'm at. It's a, oh, so yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense because you're kind of seeing what's working and what's not working yeah. in the space.
Kind For of me, thing. Content has always been number one, and that's what I always go to. And I mean, I post a lot of stuff about our yeah. kids and, mm-hmm. and all that, but I just, the super personal stuff where it's like camera towards yeah. me, I am so awkward and uncomfortable with it. So, yeah,
but you're so dang good on it, though. That's the no, thing. I'm not. Well, like some of the videos that we've, and I mean, my content is speaks for itself because I think there's been
maybe
think,
two with videos. You, I feel like when we're together, we have fun. I have like a tendency to relax a little bit.
It's because we sleep together.
You just know me.
I mean, nobody, you knew me. Nobody yeah, snoozed you know I mean? Down the old biblical. You knew me. okay, so I guess that's the best segue of, I guess we started with your fears and then the type of content you create. Okay, so I guess this is the perfect opportunity to be like, okay, so how did you start? So everybody, how do they phrase it when they ask you? Like how did you get into staging? Is that how they usually are? Or say, how did you become a interior designer? Or what's Both. Their?
I get so many, and when I say so many, I know people always say.
DMs are flooding.
DMs are flooding my inbox. No, but I think that's probably like one of my number one responses to like a lot of my stories is, so how did you get into staging? I'm really interested. I want to know like how, you know, do you have a degree in it? Mm-hmm. And also design on mm-hmm. that side too. So that's, I've been getting a lot of it. I don't know why. Maybe mm-hmm. it's because we decided to do a podcast and people just feel it.
Oh, interesting. Like their loins are going like, they're something's, brewing a something.
Yeah, something's brewing. Hmm. What is it?
Right after the first cup of
coffee.
So
yeah, I do get a lot of DMs about that. So I just felt like,
yeah,
and sometimes I'll respond to them, and but it's just like when it's all around, I'm like, yeah. That's, and I've done, what is it, the questions where you mm-hmm. answer,
oh yeah, yeah,
where people ask questions, and yeah, I've had that,
and you repost it on your yeah. Instagram stories, whatever,
but it's a lot to write. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be, I mean,
yeah,
just share it on here.
Yeah, and to be clear, for the listeners, is like we're not, the purpose of this podcast is not like, hey, can we talk about our story for, you know, however many episodes we get to create? Like, no, the point of this podcast, whoa, easy there, drinking McDrinkerson, like how many did you have?
It's my bougie wine.
Rosé all day. The purpose of this podcast that we want to start is we call this podcast, we settled on Next Door Neighbors, and I don't know why, I think it's just like a fun thing. We want to stay away from like giving any people any like how to have a good marriage or any kind of, we want to just to talk about things that we both are in the space of being influencers. I hate that word, it makes me cringe, but I guess society and the community, that's mm-hmm. the word they pin to it. But like we both make a living through social media. Mm-hmm. You two parts, local business and social media, me right. fully social media and YouTube. And we just wanted to be like, hey, listen, we have good chemistry. So maybe just be kind of fun to get on this thing. And sometimes we'll interview people. Sometimes I won't be here and somebody will be to replace me and she'll talk to them and vice versa. And
yep.
we just want to have a good time. And you know, we were going to call
it. Keep it like limited to just one thing.
Yeah.
So we're just yeah. going to leave it open.
Yeah. We were going to call it the Mazookans, which is our last name. But then we were like that. We sound Nobody's like a swinger group. Swinger group. Also, Mazookans. Nobody could spell it. Yeah, for sure.
Won't be searchable.
Oh, how funny. How clickbaity would it be if the podcast was like the Swingers or something the like swingers. That? And but like, let's say we put 100 episodes out, whatever. Like,
nothing
regarded to even sexuality or anything like that. I just, it's called
kind of like your Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk podcast. Yeah, my other podcast with my buddy Jeremiah, Pillow Talk podcast.
Plug.
Ayo, shameless Ayo. Plug.
Shameless plug.
Okay, so kick us off here. You've had your business now for going on 3 years, correct?
Already 3 years.
Already, congratulations.
So July.
That's another cheers. That's a good
cheers.
July, was it July?
Yeah.
The quarantine took away the celebration from it. We didn't get to
sad.
Do
we didn't get to celebrate. Yeah. I believe July 9th.
Is that based off of when you filed an LLC or your first job or
how? That's when I filed with the state.
Oh, the state
so
matters.
So I think that's
huh?
the most legit because it's like people can look you up.
When Uncle Sam could recognize you. And you get, when you get the EIN
like
number.
Like anybody, well, anybody could get an EIN, right?
No, that's true.
But when you file with the state.
Yeah, it's, now you're so, like, now you're audible. Like, yeah. not audible. You're able to be audited.
Auditable.
Auditable, yeah, auditable.
Auditable.
So July 9th, you started your thing. And then how did this all start from? Like, go back to your even social media because and okay. how that came across.
In terms of social media, do you mean?
Well, like, how'd you get become a quote unquote air quotes influencer? Like, how'd you say now it's not going to be a personal account; it's going to be a
business
account?
Well, I think it started with you started first. Mr. Bildick first came on the scene, and then I want to say maybe a year, mm-hmm. not even a year mm-hmm. after you started Mr. Bildick, I can't remember. Oh, yeah. You were just kind of nudging me lovingly.
I hijacked your account. I straight up hijacked your account. And you didn't talk to me for
Okay, so
you
back
didn't talk
up.
To me.
Yeah.
You didn't talk to me for like a day and a half.
No, it was like half a day.
It was definitely okay. It was definitely.
That's right. You kept kind of just encouraging me. Encouraging. We'll say encouraging to start something because you had started Mr. Build It and you were kind of seeing already the fruit mm-hmm. of it coming. Like you would get free stuff here and there. Anyway, you did a giveaway, all the fun stuff. So you just kept encouraging me to start something because, uh-huh. you know, I loved design, which mm-hmm. every 20 to 30 year old woman. Oh my gosh, yeah. I've always wanted to do interior design.
Yeah.
But I've always loved like decorating. And I think as we bought our first house, I got to do a lot of it there. And when we started remodeling, it was really fun because we got to do it together and I got to decorate. And so I just started falling in love with it more and more. And then I think with you starting Mr. Build It, mm-hmm. you were like, you should do something too because then we mm-hmm. can do it together. And I was like, no, I don't want to.
And it was hard too because it's like we had Jack that time.
And Beckham.
And I would be glued to my phone and mm-hmm. my computer. And you would be like, hey, hon, how about you put that away and like
I didn't understand it. Yeah. I didn't understand it.
It was interesting. So it was an interesting like dynamic.
It took a while. I feel like you started kind of chiseling away at me. Mm-hmm. Like January of 3 years ago, 2017.
Yeah.
And then we bought our second house and we started remodeling that and you started seeing even more so like how much I loved it and you were like, you need to pursue this, do like something design.
Yeah.
I've heard like staging does really well. I think you were the one who introduced me to staging.
Was I? Yeah. I actually don't remember that. I did remember mentioning saying you should start a blog because your background is in writing.
I did do blogging for a second.
Did you have your own blog?
Yeah.
When we were together?
So I had like 5 different names before I settled on Mint and Pine.
Uh-huh.
What
did I change your Instagram name to?
It was like the Minimal Nest or something. The Humble Nest.
I changed it to Humble
Nest. That's right. One day he was like, I'm just going to do this for you. If you don't like it, change it back.
And you were pissed.
I wasn't pissed. Get pissed?
No, you don't. But on 2 occasions, you got pissed at me. We don't fight that often.
No.
But the times that we did.
But we didn't fight about that, did we?
We didn't. Okay, sorry. I'll rename it. You have never been really mad at me, except maybe a handful of times in our 8 years of marriage now. And one of them was, what's one of them? The very first one was definitely when I changed your Instagram name, right? Because I remember you were saying
that was such a big deal.
Because a lot of your girlfriends were starting blogs. Yeah. And I remember you telling me like you didn't want to do it. So they think that you're doing it because they're doing it.
Oh, like copying them.
Copying them.
Going back to caring too much about what people think of me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that was interesting that.
Everything goes back to that, which is like kind of sad because that's what I base everything off of. And I think that has its pros and cons. But anyway.
Yeah.
Going back. Yes.
So we changed it to Humble Nest. And then I said, hey, and then you got pissed at me. And then I think it took you like a day. That you were starting to think about different names to change it to. Mm-hmm.
I started a blog, but I would post like one mm-hmm. blog entry.
Do you remember what it was? Your first one was that tapestry you did.
Yep. And I did a giveaway.
Yep. You did that giveaway. Yep.
Good times. Wow.
Yeah.
It was like over 3 years ago.
Yeah. And then how did that, okay. So that's your social media. That started that.
So it started with, I guess, I forgot mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
I guess going back to staging, I guess it started from that. Yeah.
Did you know that I when I did that, when I hijacked your phone and did that, it's funny. Some husbands probably look at their wife's text messages, see if they're cheating on them. Not me. I steal her and start businesses.
He starts businesses on my Instagram account. Hey, that's another one for you.
I must have had a few beers on the couch do that. And I was like, some of my best decisions have been made from having a few drinks.
Here, hon. You have an EIN now.
Hey, you have to file with the state now. Congratulations.
That's you're like, our fight start.
You left to the grocery store, come back with responsibilities.
I didn't want this.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't file for a profit in the next 5 years, you're going to get audited.
Okay, here you go. So, I love you.
I love you, yeah. Also, what's for dinner? So that started your social media. That kicked it off. And you've been just blowing up. Also, how'd you... You went into this. You're going to get a partner. A business partner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. So right before that, you were going to do... how did that transition to staging?
This is a messy beginning of... Because I think we're forgetting a lot. I forgot a lot.
I know. This is kind of cool. And I think it's good.
It's kind of cool to talk about because I have forgotten it. And it's cool to go back to like, oh, yeah, I did have a couple blog entries in, what it was, the Minimal Nest or something. Mm-hmm. And then I think what changed was you actually were the one that were like, hey, some of my friends told me like home staging is like getting really big. And I was like, what is that? And then you told me some people are selling their homes and they bring in their furniture and make it look good. And I'm like, oh, I like that. Hmm. I could do that. Yeah. But I never took anything seriously. Yeah. It was just like an idea in the back of my head. All these things, design, like staging, decorating, all of it was this like, I love doing this, but I'll never pursue a career in this. It was just always like this dream fantasy kind of thing. So I was just saw it as that, I'll just decorate my house, but have these like dreams and aspirations of, you know, never going in fully like as a career.
Yeah. And then what was the big deciding fact? What was the conversation? Because I remember us sitting in the kitchen.
It was the kitchen of this house.
And it was the kitchen of this house. And I was still working in the hospital and I was like, somehow. It was
you told
like,
me to make more money.
Oh, yeah. Can I share that? Can I share how that argument kind of went?
I can't remember it.
Okay.
If it doesn't make me look bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I think it was a classic spouse conversation where you, just like anybody else, you know, you wanted the cute things for the house to make the home look home.
Oh, yeah, because we had just moved, so I wanted all the pretty things.
So, and I think I saw you buying a couple of rugs and stuff. Like, we just ran through our remodeling budget, and we had a big debate about buying a farmhouse sink, which cost the amount of 5 stainless steel sinks. Anywho, so we
it was $600, whatever.
But back then, we were like, that's a lot of money, you know? And so... I saw you were buying all these things just like any husband would be noticing, like, that's another delivery. That's another thing. Keep in mind, this is before Mr. Build It really became anything, you know, on YouTube or anything. I think
so.
I
what was, were you doing before?
I was
working at a law firm as an administrative assistant.
Oh, you should have just left it as I was working at a law firm and that's law it.
No, administrative assistant.
Yep.
And you were at the hospital as a respiratory therapist.
As a respiratory, the rapist, yep. And
The rapist.
Very entry level. I think got hired on, I think I just finished training or something like that. And you know, the income's not that great. I mean, people might think it's not. Between a family of 4 of us at that time it was you're kind of almost living paycheck to paycheck.
I mean, it was like you're kind of making ends meet.
And we didn't ball out. We didn't have car payments. We didn't have anything like that. But it's just, you know, and our mortgage was normal. And so it's just, it doesn't go that far. So you're during that day, I remember, I noticed you're buying more and more of these things. And I kind of got irritated and I was like, listen, I want the nice rugs. I want the nice couches. I want, I want the campers and RV. Not that you were buying campers or RVs. I was like, I want these things. But the thing is like, you're going to have to bring more money because I'm trying to do this Mr. Build a thing to get
you're
it up and going.
The 2 things.
And I'm working at a hospital. It's like 12-hour shifts. Like, I can't bring on more on me. So you're going to have
you're at capacity.
So it's like, if you wanted, you're going to have to. And I remember, because I think you had to go to work or something like that.
I was about ready to go to work.
You kind of, you don't argue back or shout back. So you just kind of got like kind of bottled up and just like, stomped out, basically.
I'm pretty sure I cried because I was
you teared up a little bit, you know, not because I hit you or anything.
Close.
But I was close. I just didn't know who's in charge.
Crying when people are disappointed in me.
Oh, that's mean. I didn't know that. No, that was the case. I thought it was like you were like, because it was a confrontation kind of thing, you know, like an altercation kind of thing. But I didn't know it was that. I didn't want you to cry because I'm not disappointed in you. I mean, don't let it happen again. But that's it. But so that's sad. I didn't know that was the case.
What?
But
you knew that.
No, I honestly thought it was not disappointing.
No, not then. But in general, you know that I just I cry now.
Well, yeah. Now I do. Now it's like I kind of
disappointed.
I mean, we've been married for 8 years now. That I'm like, okay, I think I picked up on some of your cues.
Okay. And so, but back then you didn't.
Back then I didn't. Ago? I guess. And so. I remember you left for work, and then I don't remember if it was that day or the next day. You were like, "I'm thinking about I'm gonna start a business."
No. So we had the conversation. You said, "Hey, like, if you want these nice things, us, like, we need to figure out a way to make more money
mm-hmm.
because if you want to buy these things, like, we can't buy them right now.
Yeah,
we barely are still renovating our house. We have to, you know." Watch our budget. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, but I want to buy all these cute things because we just moved into our new house. Mm-hmm. I want to buy that cute chandelier for the dining room because, like, it was just, you know, a new house. You want all the new things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took it, like, obviously, I think I cried. I can't remember. But I was just, like, kind of butthurt about it because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I have to work more and, you know, I'm already working at the hospital and taking care
of
kids.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, why don't I just do it? I don't have anything to lose. And you had already told me, like, we can invest the money that we have mm-hmm. to buy furniture for our first house to stage. And you told me I will help you. Like, I mean, everything was like set when you had told me that you would help me. And so I had all these things lined up and I just couldn't pull the plug. It took me that whole day. I went to work and thought about it, and it takes me a really long time to make a decision. If you guys
don't
know me,
if you're leading on to saying that you made a decision in a day, that's very impressive. No, because that's a business general, decision to make in a day.
I mean,
it's huge.
For sure it's huge. Yeah. But in general it takes me a long time to make a decision.
You would be somebody I considered before as very indecisive. I would never in a million years point you that now. I mean, you're very good at being a decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so I just kind of thought about it that day and was like, maybe I could do this. Maybe I am. And, you know, obviously the reason I never pull the plug is like I have fears that I will fail. Mm-hmm. The fear of failure, fear of like what people will think of me. Like if I start this, people would be like, oh, her style is actually not cute at all. Oh, I don't want to hire her. Yeah. So all these fears were what were pushing me away from actually going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when in reality it was like, I didn't have, I mean, everything was set up. Like I said, like you had already said, like we have the money to invest in furniture. Like everything was ready to go. And I just could not pull the plug. And I just kept being fearful of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, what if I don't get any business and we mm-hmm. buy all this furniture and I don't have anybody to stage for because nobody thinks my style is great? Or how do I even start? I remember thinking all these things like, how do I even start? I don't know what to do. How do I get clientele? What kind of furniture do I buy? Where do I even go?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And just
those were my thoughts.
And just to be clear, when we say we had some money set aside for furniture, because we just mentioned we were living kind of almost paycheck to paycheck. So where do you get money for furniture? So my Mr. Billet stuff, there's a few checks that I stacked and to let it sit there. And basically that we bought,
I think
what was like $4,000 that we used to buy that first. We took a trip to IKEA.
First IKEA trip.
We took a trip to IKEA.
So let's back up.
Okay.
So finally, I think I texted you that same day mm-hmm. before I left to work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I like got a hold of my friend and we were going to do it together because I obviously didn't want to do it alone because mm-hmm. Going back to the fear of starting something new and failing. And so that's where I started. I was like, okay, let's do this. And so I think that next few days is when I registered. Was like, okay, I gotta come up with a name, let's do this. And so over the course of a couple months, I want to say, we started, I got the EIN, I registered with the state. What else?
Yeah,
we went to IKEA. Yeah.
So we went to IKEA with like $4,000 or something like that. And we bought a crap ton of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Hugely regret. I mean, it was kind of nice to get the first. Because we.
But it was a learning experience.
It was a learning experience. And the reason why we regret it, because everything broke. Like after maybe our third
everything
job.
Everything broke after the second move.
Yeah. Of the furniture. We then. We got our first job. I remember, we're not going to say with whom, but yes, just in case this ever.
They errors listen, and yeah, they listen to it.
I remember we had to like almost. We almost had to lie to tell them like we've done this before. They're like, "What'd you guys do before?"
You kind of just fluff it up.
Yeah, like, I came
like,
with you.
Oh, yeah. Like I staged, but like really, I staged my own house.
They're like, "How long have you been staging?" I'm like, "Well, we've been in marketing for
a while
now." And I was considering Mr. Build a thing as like marketing.
We're kind of just like you really do because you don't want to say you're
brand new
because nobody's gonna want to hire you. Like you've never staged before, so you have to kind of come from somewhere. And so I used photos of our house.
Yeah. As your portfolio.
Both houses. Yeah. As my portfolio to start with. Because like people want to see. Okay. Like what kind of style are you?
Yeah. So we lied through our teeth. We lied through our teeth to get our first job. We rented a U-Haul. And me and you moved everything.
Yep.
And the
two of us.
Jack and Beckham were in the car with us. And I think a handful of times your mom watched them.
Yes. In the beginning.
We did the U-Haul
thing. Our first move, though. It was just the two of us.
It was the two of us.
Had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
And how I got the job is... once I got everything registered, so I would say like if you're starting out, you have to get all your ducks in a row. So get the EIN, that's the tax ID number. Register with the state. Make sure you're registered as a business.
Get an account.
Get a checking account through your name.
Business
account.
Yeah, because your checks are gonna be made to that.
Exactly, with like checks and a business card. And then once you do that, those things are really the big ones. And then you can market yourself after that.
Get business cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get a business cards. Get a is a big one. Yeah. Get a website. But even then, if you don't have those yet, I feel like you're already in a spot to start. But those things help because there's your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Like my Instagram was my portfolio. So I would show people or send them to Instagram or my website that I started like one day before marketing myself. But then I just got a list of realtors and builders.
And just started
emailing them. That's it.
Yeah.
And then finally, what are you going to do? Yeah.
But you must have sent out like 10 or 20 of them.
No, it was like 20, 25.
And then do you remember in the middle of that, I did this thing where I bought like 20 boxes of Dunkin' Donuts and I drove around to realtors.
Was that then?
Real estate. Like I think it was after that first job.
Yes.
I drove around to different realtor companies like
I remember that.
I was going to say Sherwin-Williams, but it's a paint company. Keller Williams. And said, hey, we're a staging company. Here's some business cards and some donuts. And can you put that in the break room or something? And I mean, it never brought us any business. I don't think it did. But it made us kind of go like, let's try all these things.
We tried.
And then after that, nothing works. Let's try more things. Mm-hmm. And then really put ourselves out
there. So really, it was that one company coming back to us and going, hey, we're actually like looking for a new staging, kind of something fresh. I like your style. Let's try it. And that first job, when we booked it, I just remember being so excited, but so afraid. Like, we have to deliver, right? This is our first ever staging. We have to deliver. And I mean, looking back, I kind of cringe.
Well,
because it wasn't, I mean, it was IKEA furniture, right? It was.
We had some farmhouse. We had some modern stuff in there.
It was all the styles together because I didn't really know what I was going for. Because, you know, at IKEA, and then we had a little bit of World Market and a little bit of Target and just all the things. Yeah. This was a hodgepodge of styles, but they loved it.
For that price, for what that builder was looking for, I think.
I mean, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But like just looking back to how much I've evolved over the years.
You're your worst critic, right?
Yeah,
so you're going to obviously grade you like,
the mirror was like way too low. This, like we did a little, instead of like a big media console, we did like a tiny console table that was like way too small for the space.
Yeah.
Things like that where looking back, I'm like, ooh, shouldn't have done that. But then it was like, ooh, that looks so good.
Yeah. And if you're romanticizing, like doing these kind of things, you also can understand the sacrifices you make. Cause you're both like doing all the work. You bring your kids with you.
Right.
And then on top of that, we took, we used so much of our own home furniture. So like our house was like
empty.
Like our, we had
like 80%
empty. We're talking about couches. We're talking about everything. We took our kids' beds and mattresses. Just mattresses because they didn't have beds yet.
No.
We just moved in and we're going to buy them beds. Or I think I was thinking about building them or something like that. And I remember taking our kids' twin mattresses and then laying down blankets on the ground for them to sleep on for the next couple of days because we ordered them on Amazon, the new mattresses. Like it like,
was such a sacrifice, and you have to be willing to be that obsessed with it and that like I'm gonna do this no matter what. And so we took everything we could from our house, and it's not like we had that much stuff because we had just moved and sold a lot of our stuff.
Yeah.
And so we did that IKEA trip, and then we used our living room couch and a few other things from our house and staged it. And so we didn't have a couch in our living room, and we just,
it always makes me so sad. It's not that we were poor, but like it makes me so sad to think like we. So yeah, it was just super sad to like consider like, it's like my kids are orphans.
Yeah, I mean? I know, like it felt like it for a little bit.
Like they're sleeping on the ground, and it felt sad. And I mean, those are just sacrifices that we had to make it all work.
Yeah, that's what helped us with the next one, because we had enough furniture for one house.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, hey, we really like that. Let's do another house.
Yeah.
And so that's the trickling effect. Like we kind of had to sacrifice that first time. I mean, and it wasn't the first time we used our furniture.
No.
I still just used one of our couches this year.
But it's what I did notice is after 3 years, it's a little bit less furniture of ours that's being used.
Just like one thing here and there.
Yeah. And you got to come closer to the mic. Or bring it up to you. bring it
hello
up to
you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
It's just Luke, one less.
I am your father.
Start a podcast with your wife. It'll be fun. They said. I don't know. There's always. I don't know if we're ever gonna get to a point where we're not using. I actually hate it.
Well, thing is, the reason we're using our furniture is because it's the furniture that I like. Mm-hmm. And so the stuff that's in our house is the stuff that I'm like, I love this, I want to use it in a house if it's like a parade home or something, because it's one of my favorite pieces. And so I tend to bring that stuff to our house that I really like.
Mm.
Vice versa. So if I'll buy something for staging, and if I really like it, it's gonna end up in our house. I'm sorry. That's just it is.
Staging stuff. Expense. We could talk more and more about how, you know, how you got to do a parade of home and you scored first and second place. Your first year doing a parade of homes, it was a Canyon County parade of homes, or was it Ada County parade of homes? Which one was it?
My very first one was Canyon County.
And you scored second place. And the reason why you didn't get first is because there was collusion going on.
Sure. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
And Russian
there's
spies.
There's some kind of spies Russian, in the
something
mix.
Something with the internet and routers. They tampered with the Olympics, and then they
all tempered, the things. Yeah. Doping.
Doping, yeah. You dope. And then you did your Canyon County or Ada County, and it was a spring parade or fall parade? Which one was it?
It was spring parade, but they made it virtual because of COVID.
Got first place.
No. I got first place in the second Canyon County.
Oh, the second Canyon County. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So like, and you've done bigger and fancier builders.
But it all started from, you start small. So if there was an advice we would give somebody, it would say buy one house.
Yeah.
Houses worth of furniture. Get your first job. And then work your way to more furniture and inventory and build that inventory up. Because if you buy or get a loan for inventory and you don't get the business, you're just going to be sitting on that loan and making payments. And it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, I was gonna throw in that one of the best decisions we've made, and I think that's one of the, like, you can really get yourself in trouble if you don't do this, is when people get the first paycheck, they want to treat themselves. Okay, go to dinner. Have fun at a dinner. But
keep it to $80.
Yeah. Don't start.
Splurge. Yeah. But like, don't get that second cocktail. Yeah, jeez. Like,
get an appetizer. Know you're going to get a dessert. Both and multiple drinks. Like, and also watch the calories.
Get the same cocktail, whatever.
Right. Nobody wants to hire if you're out of shape stager. You know, I'm kidding. The staging world loves everybody of all different shapes and sizes.
Had to throw that out there.
But I have to make the disclaimers. Yeah. No, but I think a lot of people get themselves in trouble is like, it's just like any business. People go get a business loan and then when things are slow or they didn't anticipate them not trouble. Getting, they're making payments on the stuff. And what we did is like every job that you got, we tried to just kind of live within our means and then use that money to buy more furniture.
Yes, we did that for a while. We didn't pay ourselves for a year. Mm-hmm. At least a year. We didn't pay ourselves. Every dime went to more buying furniture. More stuff and better stuff. Mm-hmm. And slowly accumulating more and more things to where it was like, you know, 10 houses worth now I have. Yeah. Or I did. And then I'm going through like, I sold a lot of the stuff that I had bought recently because styles changed so much.
Yeah.
I sold a lot of my furniture, especially mm-hmm. the IKEA
Target the stuff. That's yeah, the Target, the Wayfair.
Yeah, so slowly, the nice thing is with staging too, is slowly you start working your way to bigger houses and
houses. Yeah,
I like that.
I like that too. That should be on a shirt.
The two houses.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen my houses?
Did I just start something? I like it.
You just started a merch line.
I did.
Minton, fine. We'll stage your houses.
We'll stage your houses. Staging and design. I love it. It has like a ring to it. Houses. Minton, fine design. We'll stage your houses.
And then like parentheses, you don't need school.
You don't need to learn good.
Yeah. Whatever. Look, I didn't learn good and I'm fine. I'm staging all these houses.
Look at me. Look at me now.
And I think what's really cool, because a lot of people will say like, oh, there's a lot of overhead on it. Like, yes, but that overhead really only counts as that expense, that reoccurring expense is when you're making payments on a particular loan and that interest and stuff like that. But so like, okay, so COVID hit and obviously staging slowed down tremendously, right? Yeah, you had a few jobs here and there, but tremendously slowed down. But we didn't really take a hit. Like it's like
no, because we're not making payments on anything.
We're not making payments.
You own our furniture.
You own our furniture. You're making.
I have a storage few unit storage payments. Units, that's it. Yeah, but that's your low cost.
The trailer, everything else is owned. Like it's all owned. Yeah. It's all paid for and owned. And there's nothing that you're accruing, and you don't feel like my operating expense is this. Like
it's so minimal, and that's I think probably the biggest mm-hmm. piece of advice you could give is. Start small.
Yeah.
Start with that one house and work your way to more, because as you're getting more business, you can buy more things because you're getting more checks. Do not start with this big business loan that is just going to get you in trouble when things slow down, because staging does. It's however the house market is. If things are blowing up, people want to get it staged.
Yeah.
And then when things slow down, like with COVID, you know, things are not as booming, I guess.
Well, think about it this way. You go get a $50,000 loan for business. And you're like, I'm going to buy $50,000 worth of furniture and get a moving truck and a trailer or whatever and storage and whatever. Okay, well, your payment probably on that, I mean, if it's like at least a 3%, if that's on like being conservative,
right,
is you're going to be making $600 payments on that, right? At minimally, least, at the very least, it's being very conservative. And you go get your first job. Well, that's $1,000. Let's say I think what we charged your very first job was like, what, $1,500?
It's
your
like
very first job. $1,200 bucks. Okay, so you know you have a $500 expense now that you're going on your loan. And then we rented a U-Haul, right? It's like, well, here's another $100, right? And then you got some lunch and whatever. And next thing you know, you're walking out of this job that you spent all this time.
Bucks.
You're like, there's nothing in my pocket. And so you got to be very careful. One thing I learned from your parents when I first like met them is that like, I remember walking in your dad's granite shop and he has this like forklift and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, cool. Like what are your payments on this kind of stuff? He's like, no, I own the stuff.
Yes.
Like, that way I don't have to be burdened by it. And you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like when we started, we got movers and the movers got us by, but then all of a sudden
the jobs got bigger and busier. Expense.
And they started charging more and more and more. And you're like, okay, now I'm making less money. So we have to be like, okay, we have to hire movers. We have to hire employees. We have to get a trailer. Let's get And so now,
but that stuff comes slowly as you gain business and gain those clients. So like the nice thing is if you do such a great job, those realtors or builders, whoever you stage for, will come back to you.
Yeah.
And that is the wonderful part of staging, is they'll always come back to you if you deliver on what you promised, yeah, or over deliver on, yeah, what you promised. And so I think that's how it kind of started with us. It was like, I was never satisfied with each staging because I knew I could do better.
Yeah.
And so each time I was like, okay, I'm going to do better. Let's get one more piece of furniture in this place to make it look better. And each time we did that, and mm-hmm, slowly with each paycheck, we just kept buying more furniture and buying more furniture. And it took a couple of years.
Do you know what I think made you really good at your skill set? I mean, as far as the second part of the business is not your only skill set, but is like how to scale it down in a way where you have a flowing system that you're not wasting time, which is money and all this stuff, to have it like operational. Like, how do you have organized all your stuff and all this stuff? One thing that made you really good, and we discussed about this many times, is that you would do a job, you would stage it, you'd come home exhausted because you worked, mm-hmm, your butt off. And you're like, I'm like, how's it go? He goes, oh, you know, it went fine or whatever. And then you'd almost always have to come back for either a few accessories you'd have, mm-hmm, to add, or pictures that you would just take for your own social media thing just to kind of add to your resume.
Right.
And I remember every single time you'd say you come back and you come and you're like, man, I looked at it and I was like, wow, that looks really good. So to me, what it was is like, in the moment, you're not really happy with it. Like, in the moment, you're like, it was fine.
It's like when you're writing a paper and you get so just crammed in your thoughts and you're over it and you think it's just so terrible, and you take like a 1 hour break and you come back and you're like, oh, like I had some good thoughts here, and you can like revisit that, and your mind is fresh and everything. That I think I have that happen to me almost every time. I have this tendency to like want it to be a certain way, so when I go stage, I'm like, this is how it has to be. And obviously every house is so different, nothing works out the way I want it to, but so I feel like I always leave a little bit unhappy with my staging because I know I could do better, or something didn't work, or I had to replace something, or I forgot something, you know, all the little things. But the beautiful part about it is when I leave and I come back, whether it's to de-stage or to take pictures, I'm always like, oh wow, this actually looks really good. Yeah. I don't know if it's just taking that step back,
refreshing
my mind, and then being proud of my work.
Wow, you're
real. And I'm never proud of it when I leave, which is so funny.
Yeah, you're real Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it, on the staging, in the stages.
I feel like I should write about
this. In the stages of the business.
Yeah.
No, I think that's awesome. And I think that's what made you a real killer. Like, I think what made you a real killer in the business is when you would leave and you're like, it's fine.
Or not being content and wanting more and better, maybe.
And then you'd come back and you're like, or you'd post stories. And I would so many times DM you back. I was like, that looks really good. And I wouldn't do it just to support you. Like I'd just
I
be could like,
tell. I know you. I know
like,
when you
I was
say
like, damn,
like,
that looks. Yeah. Or sometimes you'll take a picture and I'm like, damn, that's a nice picture.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that was my iPhone too. And I was like, that's a good job. Like with a picture and the staging and composition and all this stuff. Because you know what I mean? Like I don't really have an eye for design, like in terms of staging, but I have an eye for space, right?
Spatial.
Like, yeah. I'm like, something's missing in this space. Mm-hmm. Like
you can tell.
If a picture and a window was too far apart, I'm like, something's off. I don't know what to do around a shelf or a surface.
But I think that's what made us work in the beginning. Yeah. Is, I mean, you were 1,000% mint and pine all the way too. And so I think that's what made us work in the beginning. You told me like, hey, because I feel like I didn't have that side of me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I had to build that spatial part of me where mm-hmm. I'm like, that area is missing something because I'm so minimal. Mm-hmm. I love everything minimal. And so I think that's why we worked. And why Mint and Pine worked, because you're like, hey, you should put something here because it's kind of feeling weird. And I'm like, really? I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it and I'd be like, oh yeah, that looks really good. And so over time, I've developed that. But I think that's why we work also in the remodeling aspect too.
Yeah, no, it does. And
you see that part of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, because I know what's capable of happening in remodeling. And I also know that through Mint and Pine and staging, I think you've exercised that muscle in your brain of seeing space and seeing stylistically things and seeing and being better and better at decision making.
P.S. Are you sitting crisscross applesauce?
Crisscross applesauce right now. Heck yeah, man. In my jorts.
In your cutoff jorts.
Cutoff jorts.
And they look good.
Also,
look
can I be completely transparent with you? Yes, please. The first 45 minutes of this podcast, did not wear underwear.
Wait, did you put them on when we paused?
Yeah, when we paused to go feed Harper.
What were you
doing? I just had, I was then? Going commando.
Did you just feel good? Did you feel like you had a little breeze
in there? No, no. Jeggings. These are jorts. There's no breeze. Room to breathe? There's no room to breathe. For whatever guys that are out there who are into going commando and saying it's comfortable, then you're not. You're unless not. You're wearing sweatpants and it's like 68 degrees.
I can imagine house. You need a little hammock to keep you...
You need some support. You need some support.
Especially you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Shout I didn't out. Catch you there. Oh, my goodness. Shout
Are you
out.
Blushing?
Shout out to the best co-host ever.
Are you blushing?
My right wife now? Just did a well-endowed joke towards her husband. Shout out. Wow.
I can imagine,
man,
though. Like...
We're good business partners. And okay. Good wingman, too. Good wing.
I'm blushing a little. You never blush.
You took me off by surprise.
Yeah,
to be
you
honest.
Didn't catch that.
Hey, respect
first.
That. I'll give you some bump knuckles. All right. So, yeah, that's an awesome. I mean, that's really cool to just like go back and like look at all the things we've kind of overcome. And we've had so many challenges in the midst of it. There's times that we had to, you were going to do a partnership with somebody, mm-hmm. and then we had to undo the partnership. And things got messy and sticky. I mean, and there was times where it's like, we don't have money for another storage unit, or hey, yeah. we don't have.
There was difficult times in the yeah. midst of it, but
or,
I think.
Or what, the busyness part, like, hey, yeah. all of a sudden you're like, you have three houses, but now you need to do four houses. And you're like, yeah. I don't have another house. You're like, I guess we're borrowing 90% of our house again.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's another part of it is I have, going back to the people pleasing side of me, I have a really hard time saying no. Mm-hmm. And so there'd be times where I would be fully booked and I would have zero furniture left. Yeah. And somebody would be like, hey, we need to, would you be able to stage like next week? And I'm like, oh, I can't. But yes, I would love to stage your house.
I would do it.
When can we do this?
Yeah.
And then I come to Alex and I'm like, hun, I said yes to this job and I don't have any furniture. And then you just be like, why? So many times.
I would really hate when those moments came to me because I know when you would come to me because you didn't have an answer. Like you felt like you were like against
the, your,
in a corner.
Like, input and your advice because I was just at a wall. I hit a wall.
And I always go into like, if you're coming to me, like I have to go into the survival mode. I was like, okay.
You're a problem solver.
Yeah. I think I'm only good at problem solving because I could look at if it's a bad situation. If it's a good situation, easy peasy. You go, what's the best case scenario?
Right.
When problem solving, when things are bad, the easy part of my brain goes like this. What's the best worst case scenario? Right.
Okay.
So what's the best worst option? So the best worst, you can either go, we say no to them, mm-hmm. or we get really uncomfortable again and take our furniture from our house, which is our comfort. Okay, the best worst case option is take our furniture from our house. That's it. Because if you say no, you keep saying no. Well, the chances of that company or that builder coming back to you after you said them saying no to them one time is really slim. You know what I mean? You have to like keep up with the demand.
And that's why I couldn't say no in the beginning.
Yeah.
Even now I have a hard time saying no. But
and you shouldn't.
In the beginning
I think
it was a lot harder because I couldn't.
Right.
I had to say yes to everybody. And so we just had to figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's go get more furniture. Let's go use our couch again, you know? So I think that's, it kind of has its pros and cons because pros, you're building your like clientele. And so when you say yes to people, hopefully they'll come back to you. But at the same time, you're putting stress on your family, your house, yourself.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
that's,
but I think over time we've figured it out and you just have to be okay with those things. You have to be okay with using your own furniture sometimes or having to go back out and buy more furniture or the stress of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Figuring that out. And as long as you're okay with that, say yes.
You got to be obsessed so much about making this thing grow and work that you're willing to take on, like, I think all this stuff that makes you really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know?
But in the end, like to me, I think you also have to really ask yourself, is it worth it? And I know mm-hmm. that's like such a cliche line, mm-hmm. whatever, but to me it was like, is this worth it? Do I want this client to keep coming back to me? Do I want to keep building, you know, my brand? Because in reality, it was a staging business, but we always said, I want this to become a brand. I want Mint and Pine to become its own brand, not just a, you know, local staging business. Yeah. And so that's why I kind of branched out into interior design, e-design, all the little things. Yeah. And so it was always to me like, is it worth it? Yeah, I'm stressed out. I am staying there till 9 p.m. because I want to make it perfect. But in the end, I come back and go, wow, this looks really good. I really like it. I'm really proud of my work, and I loved doing it. Those were like the things that always kept me coming back and saying yes.
Yeah.
Because I knew, I really do love it, and I've always loved it.
Yeah.
But also seeing how far I've come too. Mm-hmm. Like my style has evolved. Just the way I stage, all of the little things, because obviously with social media, I've taken that in and soaked it in and figured out like what I want to be and how I want my style to be. So going back and seeing like where I've come from, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I'm way in a different space than I was then.
Yeah. No, I think it's been incredible to watch you scale this thing up so high. You know, and any feedback I've ever given you, it's not that I knew what I was talking about. It's just more of like some of the podcasts I'd listen to, some of the books I would read, and some of the just kind of inside I would kind of gather from like, just like, this seems right. You've just taken and you executed. And we always said, like, as long as you had your standard of like, this has to be to the nines, then you're always gonna satisfy the builder. And if the builder's satisfied or the client's satisfied, then you're going to get more and more business. And but at the moment that you go, it's fine. It'll do.
Yeah.
I think all of a sudden the builder can see
That's when you're...
The client sees it. And then now you're not getting business. Now you're getting slower. But like you've gone nothing but getting busier and busier. Now you take COVID away from it. But like you've done nothing but like just skyrocket to the point where you had clients pay you up front for you just to go buy more furniture so you can do this job. Like that was really cool to see. And it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see you grow. It's been awesome to see you being satisfied in it. It's been awesome to see you exercise that muscle of design or decision making.
It really has helped me make decisions a lot quicker than I used to.
Yeah. And you're more also fearless. I think you've done this one huge difficult thing that's scary for now a long time, which I mean, we'll say it's a short time, but a long time in terms of like now it's 3 years.
Yes.
That you're less scared to embark
do other
on
things
like this, or be like, oh, well, shoot, if I did that and, you know, I mean, you've been on Wayfair commercials, you know, the house is getting featured on Better Homes and Garden, like all this cool stuff is happening, and it just nothing but boosts your confidence going like, well, if I did that and that worked out fine, then what
I could getting a little bit more bold, I guess.
Yeah,
I would say.
Let's keep reaching.
I am.
Yeah. So shout out to
Lincoln Pine to reaching.
To reaching for the.
So would you say like, if we were to give like 3 to 5 tips,
3 to 5 tips,
starting your staging business or design, but mostly staging. I feel like I have the most DMs about staging.
Staging, okay.
Which I think makes sense because interior design, people ask me like, do you have a degree? And I do not have a degree. My degree is in English, actually.
And you're decent in it.
I'm decent, with an accent.
Speaking of
English with an accent is my degree.
Okay, so you hit him with three, because your business, you hit him with three pieces of advice, and I'll find two more and to in case you miss something.
Okay. Number one, I'm trying to think.
Okay, do you want me to start it up? Okay, I'll start it off and you can into me. I would say, first of all, do it. Okay? Like whatever it is, just do it.
Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's the best way.
Just do it. Nike.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it. Don't be afraid. So like put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like everybody's afraid to get on stage, but you're like, I'm just going to do it. Yes. Right?
If I can do it, you guys, anybody can do it. I'm the least qualified, least bold person out there.
Make sacrifices, and I'll pin it with the same, under the same second point as obsess about it.
Yes.
Because then I think you'll get past the exhaustion and fatigue and failure and fear.
You do have to love it.
You have to be so obsessed about it working, right? And next episode, we'll talk about how I started my thing. Mm-hmm. But I always give people advice of like, what I do is you have to obsess about it.
Yeah.
So you have to, if you're not obsessing about this thing, you probably shouldn't be doing this. Like, think about like something else you could probably be doing. Maybe you're meant to do, you know, some kind of service.
Basket weaving,
door-to-door basket weaving. Door-to-door. Basket weaving that, like, if people from Uber Eats can also order a basket from you and you'll show up. Because
that's an add-on.
That's an add-on. That's an upcharge, right? So
$5 more, you get a hand-woven basket.
Wow, $5. You have a low profit margin. Again, don't start a basket weaving business. That's the case.
Obviously, yeah. I can't because $5 is probably way too cheap.
Yeah. I'm always like with you. I was like, what's your profit margin? Yeah. Like, are you profitable? Are we making $100? Well, let's not. You can't do this for fun. I would say use cash.
Yes.
Use cash.
That was going to be mine.
Okay. So now you're left with two more, or unless two to three if you want to throw in some more.
Yeah. I would say start small. Start with one house. Do not try to overthink it or overdo it and buy like five houses worth because you're like, okay, let's start big.
Yeah.
Start small. I think that is what made us successful because we weren't overwhelmed with so many things in so many houses. And then it was like, we got one house, we got one client, and it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And then it naturally worked from there. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a good one.
Okay, go.
And I think a lot of people always ask you is like, well, and they're thinking like, well, what would I charge people? Like, what do you charge people? And I will say this, because I've heard of stories, some of the people you know that tried getting into this kind of stuff and they'll charge like $100 a room or something like that, right? And those are realtors that are calling you like, hey, can you help us? And you tell them your price. Or you're like, they're okay, like, never mind.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
For what
you're doing? Are you serious?
Yeah. I would say this, there's something to be said about price. You're new. Don't go in there going, I charge $3,000, right? Nobody's going to hire you. But also, don't go into it and say, I'm going to charge you $500 to do this house because now you're undervaluing. You're stretching yourself so thin.
Do not undervalue yourself.
You're going to make $50. Don't do
that.
Be
confident.
Throw a number. And this is how we kind of figured out pricing wise. It's like, start with $1,200. That was our first job, $1,200. And then
for like three, four spaces.
It was four spaces, right? Three to four. Yeah, I think the first job was four spaces.
Yeah.
And then do that job. And then after that job is done, ask yourself, was all that work worth it for this much?
Right. Now, especially with moving costs and if you have to hire movers, all the things.
And if that client is satisfied and comes back and says, can you do another one? Now you could say, hey, that was our introduction price. Here's, and then charge up a little bit more. Don't go from.
People are happy with your services, they will gladly pay you the extra. As long as it's not like, you know, an obnoxious amount.
And over the years, you've been going up slowly. You're like, okay, now we did this.
My prices have gone up slowly with the market. I mean, the market in Boise slash just Idaho in general is crazy lately in the last few years. So slowly you kind of, with your moving expenses and all the things, you work your way to a little bit higher prices. But it's such a slow, gradual thing that just start somewhere in the middle, but do not undervalue yourself. That's a big one too, and be confident. I think be confident in your skill set
and your time and your value and
your value, because if you're interested in staging, it already means you have some sort of skill set in it, experience in it, whatever it is. You love it, you like it. There's a reason you're interested in it. So do not undervalue yourself. I think that was hard for me because I tend to, like we already talked about before, like be fearful and think that my work is not good enough. But I had a super awesome support system. That's another one. I think that's a big one, is have that support, whether you go into business with somebody else if you want.
Your family has to be first and foremost.
Whether it's a spouse or best friend or sister or brother or whatever it is, having that support system is, I think, what got me through, because I would have never done this if it wasn't for you. Never ever. From the beginning of you saying, hey, you should start this, like, what do you think about this? You know, taking over my Instagram. Not in the way I wanted you to.
I've always wanted you to. I knew that you could. I knew for some reason the potential that you had to be something great and amazing. Yeah. And as a person, you were great and amazing. But I think from a business aspect, just you were just a ticking time bomb of becoming. You just need.
Just didn't see that.
You just needed to be like, you know, and nudge in the right direction. And I don't, you know, and it was just so cool. Like, just to see that, like,
I needed that push.
It was the right bet that I was making, right? Because now you're a monster in this.
Yeah,
in this
and then field. Like over time with each one, I think what helped me was like when I asked you for advice or I said, "Hey, I don't know what to do about this." You were always there, mm-hmm. very lovingly saying, "Like, okay, here, I'll help you." Like, you're mm-hmm. such a problem solver. Or when I needed my very first job, when I said, "I don't know what to do," you're like, "Let's get a U-Haul. Mm-hmm. We can do this. Like, we'll get the furniture. We were lifting everything ourselves." Two stories.
I'm thinking that I should use the same approach tonight when we go to bed. I'll give you a present your problem. I say, yes. I don't know what to do
about this. I don't know.
What to do we about this. Yeah. There's a tent pitched in bed. And I don't know what to do. The tent
needs to be taken down.
But it's just
Have you ever been camping?
And you're stuck just assembling it.
Everybody knows it takes a while. Is it easier to assemble than disassemble?
Oh, well, I think when it's easier to assemble because you're so excited. You just got there. You're full of energy. You're so exhausted at the end of the camping trip. You're like, I don't want to take this tent apart myself.
Sometimes you don't know. How do you put it back in the little baggie, too?
Yeah, how does it go from such a big tent to in a small package?
I never know. That's why you got a camper.
Yeah, so you just throw everything inside and park it. That's awesome. You want to do some current events?
Oh, are we doing that?
Do you want to blast through some a few of them? If we don't have to get through all of them, but we can do some if you.
Sure.
Oh, let's do this one. You'd probably have. Because you probably could educate me on this one.
Ooh.
So did you see that Prince Harry and the Duchess? Is it the Duchess? Is that what she is?
I think so. She's considered.
Yeah,
except
Meghan.
Not anymore, right? Because they've...
So that was the whole thing. So they've Prince Harry and Meghan purchased a home in Santa Barbara. So this is a royal couple.
By the way, I've been watching Suits she's on.
Is she in there?
She's on
Suits. She's an actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was an actress. I don't think she is anymore.
Uh-huh.
But she was, and I've been watching her on Suits, and I'm like, this is so weird. She's married to a prince now.
Does she have a...
She's a good actress.
Okay, but she's not British. She's not English or anything. Okay, so
she's American.
She sounds like us.
Yeah.
She don't sound like this. So that kind of makes a little more sense, because I was like, okay, so the whole thing is like, I think the beginning
Did
of the year...
Did you not know?
Well, I know the beginning of the year I heard that they disconnect. I didn't know she was an actress, but I know the beginning
but you
of the year.
But you knew she's American, right? Just came from.
Americanese? No, I didn't know that.
Americanese?
Never heard her talk. I heard that they, in the beginning of the year, they decided to step down from any ties of the royal family. Okay? Yes. They set up, they put aside between like $25 and $40 million. I think.
Sad. Chump change.
Yeah.
Chump change.
They're roughing it. And so they're going to do their own thing. I think they're chilling in Canada for a while, which kind of makes me wonder, like...
Why were they in Canada?
Well, I kind of wonder, like, do you think there's some family feud that were going on?
Perhaps.
But then, now they just bought a place in Santa Barbara. That's what the news is. They bought a place in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And so my thing is, like, how do you go from a couple of million dollars what does an actress makes? An actress who doesn't keep in mind,
She
doesn't act anymore.
Although I did see, I think she's going to do a voiceover for something with Disney.
Disney.
Anyway, so I mean.
If they're ever coming back to recording again or filming again.
Right.
So how do you, first of all, California.
Of all the places, Santa Barbara, yes. Have you been there?
No.
It's beautiful.
Is it nice?
It's really, really
beautiful. Is that where the Richie... folks
yes,
are
yes it's like
what's the other place so Beverly Hills, is that now what the Richie folks are?
Santa Barbara is just like this really small town, but it's like really clean and upscale.
Is
and
it like a Sun Valley of
yes
like,
I would oh, say like very similar to Sun Valley, so like although yeah
mm. oh
people
okay.
hang out there that are
I think, established.
I think it said like Oprah Winfrey lives
she's their
the
neighbor
area, yeah
she's their neighbor
so you know it's a nice area.
You're sharing landscapers with Oprah, the O, you know,
the O.
That's interesting. I just don't know. I don't know how they're gonna make money, first of all, because how do you go from scaling your budget from a couple
like
of million
what is he
to,
gonna do oh, she's gonna do voiceovers
do you
what
think
is
he's
gonna
be an influencer
yeah I think he should try
It's so strange.
It's a Prince Harry.
But also, like, it's so...
Wait, well, that wasn't British. What was that? That was bad.
That was Shrek talk. Oh, Shrek. I don't know. And well, there's like the next news that we can look at. But it's like there's certain cities in this country that after we saw the pandemic is like, this is probably not a good place to live anymore. In general, like California, the metropolitan. Yeah. So like California is like, that place is, first of all, like under the leadership that's there, it's beyond crazy. And so that for anybody to choose to, like, in the middle of this time to go move there, it's wild to me.
Yeah. I mean, LA would be, didn't they go to LA for a little bit and then head to Santa Barbara? I would not go to LA.
My only theory behind this would be is like, A, if they decide to be like, we're going to be like subtle investors in like real estate or something like that, or just going to keep it low here. Yeah. And then my second theory is that if she is going to, maybe she was like, hey, Harry. And he's like, what's up,
baby? Hair. I think she calls him Hair. Hi. Hey, Hair.
Oh, she goes,
hey. But she's not British. Yeah, okay. Do you think she tries, though?
Well, you know, I think it rubs off. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I bet you.
She's developing an accent.
Listen, you put me in Texas for a week, I'll be saying y'all.
Y'all? Yeah.
And I won't be wearing underwear. But like, okay, I mean, so I bet you. Sense. So she's like, hey, Harry. And he's like, what's that, love? And he's like, oh, I want to go back to my own passion of acting. And he goes, love, whatever you want. I'll ask my mom. And he's like, and she's like, no, but listen, I don't think the royal family. Oh, she died.
She's dead.
Oh, Diana died. Oh, do people know about this?
Yeah, most people.
Most people. I'm so out of this. And then so I think I wonder if that came down to her like pursuing her passion for like that's where the industry is. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because if, in fact, I scratched the whole like investment stuff because they would have lived in like some in Maine somewhere or something else, like that or in Virginia. Like they're not gonna settle in California.
Santa Barbara. That's very interesting.
I bet you anything, it's because of the industry, like the acting industry.
We should go visit them. Do you think do you think they'd take us?
Oh, I'm gonna slide into their DMs for sure.
Hey, Hair.
Yeah, you ever
Hair Bear?
Yeah. Can I like show you how to renovate your house?
Yeah. Do the curtains DIY? Match the drapes?
Yeah, curtains match the drapes. Hey, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. Okay, let's see. Look at some of these other ones because this kind of leads on to like this. So this right here is we'll skip that one. We'll just do two just to wrap it up. Okay,
yeah, let's wrap it up.
So Luke Bryan calls the aftermath of Lady Antebellum's name change a mess. So do you know the whole Lady Antebellum thing?
Yeah.
They changed the name in the midst of this whole like Black Lives Matter movement because apparently Antebellum is something to do with slavery.
It's interesting because it's an adjective. Describing a time before a war.
Okay.
And then it says like specifically before the Civil War. An antebellum house would be like a pre-Civil War house.
Oh, okay. So like a Victorian style. Yeah, so it's
Not even necessarily anything to do with that, but it's too close.
It references the era.
The era is too close.
Oh, my gosh. We're so that bad, like, huh? Yeah, okay.
You got that.
We're not
I read like even the Dixie Chicks, they're the chicks now.
No way. Yeah. Okay, so
Dixie is too like
again, right? It's too barbecue, it's too southern.
But I'm like Dixie is just south. It's just southern. It's not anything to do I don't feel like it's anything to do with like Confederate, you know.
I had no idea it got that bad. So this is the equivalency of getting canceled in the music industry.
I'm just wondering if like what's the next word that's going to be like too far to use
anything with the letter S because it might have slavery starts with S
it's just interesting that I think because of the politics of everything they have to do that.
Well, I'm sure they didn't do it because they're like we should do it. I'm sure they're like there seems to be enough people raising awareness. I think some people were bringing awareness to it and they're like, okay, it's bothering people. Yeah. We're not in the industry of bothering people.
Which is fine.
Right? Yeah. We're not. And I think that's the thing is like, I love when people go like, we don't want to be bothered.
You don't want.
Yeah. Like they're like, a name is not that big of a deal. Like our.
They've been Lady A for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we've been calling them Lady A even before all this, like as a short version.
Yes. And most people have. And I'm so sure. They were like, let's just go with it. But now. So that's what the messy is. Through going, hey, wait a sec.
Yeah.
I've been Lady A.
So this gal's name.
They're finally a lawsuit against her.
So there's this, is she a blues musician?
Yeah, she's blues.
She's blues. Okay. So she is
Anita White or something.
Yeah, and she's been going for decades for
as Lady A,
and apparently now, so they go from Lady Annabelle. I'm like, okay, we'll just go by Lady A, and then now this Anita White, this musician who's been going by this for a while.
I don't want to say the wrong thing. Is that her actual name?
Anita White.
Yeah. I don't know if it's. I don't know if I was just making
shooting
up
from
stuff.
The hip.
Yeah.
Formerly known as slavery, possessed Civil War George. Anita White, the name is Lady A for several decades. Yeah, since then the band has filed a lawsuit to secure the rights to the name, which they claim has been the nickname throughout their entire career. But now it's just like it's such a mess. That's what the like Lou Brand.
It's such a mess. Everything's a mess.
They're like, what do we get to be called? Like they're like, I'm sure they're like, we don't care what we're called now. We just want to keep making music. Like, what do we put on their record label?
Lady.
Oh no, because then that might imply. Oh, it's
now
so,
it's sexist. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's
everything's
it's,
a mess.
It's too far, man. Things it's are getting way too far. I've gone to one of the concerts. You ever gone to one of their concerts?
No, I haven't.
They were actually my very first country concert I've ever been in my life in Seattle.
Lady A, huh?
Lady A.
It's okay, you can see it. Back then, it was.
Okay, hey guys, between us, it's Antebellum.
Not Cerebellum. Antebellum.
What's cerebellum?
Part of your brain.
Part of your brain. Oh, interesting.
Wow. You're so were you even in healthcare?
I retired.
I could tell.
I retired. That's why people should come to me with like, hey, what do I do? I don't
like
know.
Like your parents?
Yeah.
I have this rash.
Oh, my
you're
parents.
Like, I am a respiratory therapist. Yeah. Lungs only.
Yeah, lungs
so
only.
I have this rash in the bottom of my thigh. Can you come take a look at it?
What my dad's like, should I have discharge still? I don't know. Go see a urologist. Oh, they're so
between
goofy.
Me and you.
All right, what do you think? I think this has been a very successful first podcast.
I like it, yeah.
Have you been having fun?
Yes.
You feel yourself. You look comfortable.
Yes.
Your shirt's not see-through.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
You guys tell me.
And if it is, we'll start a fans-only account.
Yes.
For Patreon.
Patreon. Support me to get a new shirt.
Yeah.
I need a new shirt.
Support the channel. Well, congratulations. You're officially a YouTuber and a podcaster. We'll shake on that. We can't. We have to wash our hands after this.
Thumb war.
Okay. You want to dominate this? Oh, wow.
Got it.
Separate but equal.
Gotcha.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for sticking around, watching our stuff. If you guys like this stuff, make sure you subscribe. We'll be on Spotify and iTunes and YouTube. There's a video version as well. Irina's channel is on Instagram. What's your handle? At Minton Pine Design. Is that how you handle the handle?
Yes.
And yeah, I think
Minton
it's
Pine Design. Yes.
At Minton Pine Design. And then I'm just
the regular old Mr. Build It.
Mr. Build It. Mr. Build It.
Just a small, tiny little account.
Yeah, just doing things for fun. All right, folks. Thanks so much for following us. We will keep busting out these episodes as regularly as we can.
Until the next one.
Yeah.
Huh?
What's going to be the sign off? Is it toodles? What are you doing? Do we dip? Do we bow?
We should bow.
I like
it.
And one, two, three. Respect.
Respect.
Bye.
Bye.